today in our masjid, Masjid Farooq Azam. Alhamdulillah, it is more than just one happiness. There are multiple happinesses that we can experience today. Amongst them, mashallah, one that our respected Honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Hadith Mullah Salim Nuratab is amongst us, alhamdulillah. Secondly, it is a very blessed time between Asr and Maghrib, and mashallah, also we have four students today from our madrasa, Zinatul Quran, who will be completing the Quran Sharif, inshallah, in the presence of our Hazrat. So these three are combined today, and we are very fortunate to be amongst this gathering. We ask Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to benefit immensely, to sit with much adab, much ihtiyaj, much dependency, and with the intention that we are in need of whatever advice that will be shared with us, and we can go away from here empowered with some new knowledge, some new understanding, new motivation to better ourselves in the aspect of deen. To initiate the program, I would like to call upon Mawlana Amir Saad to recite from verse of the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد صدق الله العظيم.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الحمد لله الذي جعل من أمتي من أمرت أن أصبر نفسي معهم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. سيدنا أبو سعيد خدري رضي الله تعالى عنه a very great and eminent companion of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam narrates an incident. He says, that I went to the Masjid-e-Nabawi and I sat with a group of poor Muhajirin. Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a very great companion of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says that I went into the Masjid-e-Nabawi and I saw a group of poor Muhajirin. جلست في عصابة من ضعفاء المهاجرين. I sat amongst a group of poor Muhajirin. Muhajirin who had no status. From the worldly perspective, they had no status. They were not rich, they were poor. They were not influential. They were du'afa, they were weak. Weak as far as worldly status is concerned. Weak as far as worldly wealth is concerned. Weak as far as material items were concerned. Poor people. They had migrated from Makkah Mukarrama. Some of them may have migrated from some other place. They had left everything behind. Status was left behind, wealth was left behind. Home was left behind. As far as the city of Medina Munawwara was concerned, they were strangers. They were immigrants. They were refugees. They were sat in Masjid-e-Nabawi, in a halaqa, in a circle, in a group. Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, when I saw them, I sat amongst them. And Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that their material condition was such, وَإِنَّ بَعْضَهُمْ يَسْتَتِرُ بِبَعْضٍ مِّنَ الْعُورِيِ. That they could only barely cover their satar from the navel to below their knees. They could barely cover this part only. So basically, they were covering the bottom part of their bodies with one sheet only. One sheet. And not generously, economically. They could barely cover their satar, but the satar was covered from the navel to below the knees. And they were 10, 15, 20, 30 in this group. So they were trying to hide
the rest of the body, cover the rest of the body by using the body of the other. So they were hiding behind each other. Because noble people, they feel naked without being able to cover the top part of the body, especially in public places. If somebody comes to my house and if I am wearing a lungi, if I am covering the bottom part of my body with a sheet and only wearing a vest covering the top part of the body, and if somebody knocks at my door, before opening the door I will cover myself. I will wear a kameez, a jubba. I will cover my head. Noble people feel shy. They feel that I am not fully covered. This was the condition of this particular group of Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmu'in. And Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, وَقَارِئٌ يَقْرَوْ عَلَيْنَا. He said, a qari was reciting the Quran to us. So it's Masjid-e-Nabawi. A group of muhajirin are sitting in the Masjid-e-Nabawi who have no status as far as the worldly aspect is concerned, who are so poor that they are only, barely covering their satar, and they were hiding the other part of the body behind each other. وَقَارِهُنْ يَقْرَوْ عَلَيْنَا. And what were they occupied with? They were occupied with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person was reciting the Quran, the others were listening to the recitation of the Quran. There is a lot of reward in reciting the Quran and also in listening to someone else reciting the Quran. There is reward in both. And these are two separate ibadat. Reciting the Quran is a separate devotion, and to listen to someone else recite the Quran, that is a separate devotion. And we should try to do both. On a regular basis, we should recite the Quran. And whenever possible, we should very attentively listen to those people who recite the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا. When the Quran is recited, listen to it carefully. وَأَنْصِتُوا, and remain silent. Listen to it carefully, remain silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْهَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His mercies upon you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once said to a sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that recite lam yakun alladhina kafaru min ahli alkitab. Recite it to me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Quran, and he would listen to the Quran also. And the ulama have stated that a person is able to pay more attention to the message of the Quran whilst somebody else is reciting. When a person recites the Quran through memory in Salat, in Taraweeh for example, when he is leading the Salah, then his concentration will be divided into two parts. If he is able to understand the Quran, if he knows Arabic, if he is an alim, if he has studied the tafsir through authentic sources, and he is reciting the Quran, then his concentration will be divided into two parts, two directions. One is the words of the Quran, because he is reciting out of memory. So he has to concentrate on the words of the Quran. What comes after Alif Lam Mim? What comes after Dhalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fi? What comes after Hudal Lil Muttaqeen? He has to concentrate. Where should I go into Ruku? In the next rakat, where did I stop? From where do I have to start? And he is also concentrating in trying to understand the message of the Quran. But the one who is listening to him from behind, he is only doing one thing. He is listening to the Quran and trying to understand the message of the Quran. So the ulama have said that it is more easier to understand the message of the Quran when somebody else is reciting, because your concentration is only the message of the Quran. So reciting the Quran oneself is a devotion, and listening to someone else reciting the Quran is a separate devotion. And when one is reciting the Quran himself, then reciting the Quran whilst looking in the Quran is a separate devotion, and reciting the Quran without looking in the Quran is a separate devotion. And when reciting the Quran without looking in the Quran, by memory, reciting the Quran in Salat is a separate devotion, and reciting the Quran outside Salat is a separate devotion. We should try to carry out all these devotions, especially the Huffaz. So a Qari was reciting the Quran. وَقَارِئٌ يَقْرَوْ عَلَيْنَا A Qari was reciting the Quran to us, and the poor Muhajirin, and I was also part of this gathering now, so all of us were listening to this Qari reciting the Quran. Now here, my friends, I would like to draw your attention to a very important point, and that is the worldly luxuries are not important as far as a believer is concerned. Because a believer believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created me for this worldly life. Allah has created me for the hereafter. This worldly life is a transit. It's a transit. I was in Alamul Arwah. Alamul Arwah, the world of souls. Ruh, Arwah, souls. And I have traveled from Alamul Arwah, and I am making this world the transit, and from here I will go into the Alamul Akhirat. So I am traveling from Alamul Arwah, going to Alamul Akhirat, and I have stopped here in this world for a few moments only. A few moments only. And what are these moments? 70 years, 60 years, 80 years, 100 years, 110, 120, 70, 60. Some for only 50 years, some for 40, some for only 20 years, some stop in this world only for 10 years, for 5 years. This world is a transit. And people don't worry too much about comforts in transit. Whatever is available, we use. When we are in transit at the airport, we don't say, these seats are not comfortable, let me go and buy a nice sofa. No, I am only here for a few hours. Sometimes for a whole day. Sometimes people get stuck at the airport because of complications with their bookings for 2 days and 3 days. 2 days, 3 days, they use the very uncomfortable chairs, but they don't go out looking for a sofa. Even the rich people, even the wealthy people. They eat whatever is available at the airport. Sometimes no shower for 3 days, for 4 days, no problem. Why? Because airport is transit. This world is a transit. And Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majma'in knew this fact very well. They were very intelligent. They were very clever. They were not backward. They were more progressive and more forward than us. They knew the reality of this world and also the hereafter. And because they knew the reality of both worlds, they always used to sacrifice this world for the hereafter. And it is we who are backward. It is we who are non-progressive. It is we who are ignorant. It is we who are illiterate. Because we don't have the knowledge of the hereafter. Hence we cannot compare this world with the hereafter and the hereafter with this world. And as a result, we cannot reach the correct decision in our life. And we make a mistake and we always sacrifice the hereafter for this world. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua for himself. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina wa hshurni fi zumratil masakin. Because he knew the reality of this world and also the reality of the hereafter. He used to make this dua. Allahumma ahyini miskina. Oh Allah, for as long as you keep me alive in this world, keep me alive as a miskin. As a poor person, as an insignificant individual, as a person with humbleness and humility, for as long as you keep me alive in this world, keep me as a miskin. Wa mitni miskina, and when you take me from this world, take me from this world in the state of being a miskin. وَحْشُرْنِي فِي زُمْرَةِ الْمَسَاكِينَ. And when you resurrect me on the day of Qiyamah, resurrect me with the masakin. Resurrect me with the miskin people. Resurrect me with the poor people. Resurrect me with the humble people. Resurrect me with the people who have humility. This is what he wished for himself. This is what he wished for himself. His fakr and his poverty was not involuntary. It was voluntary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him choice between wealth and poverty. He said, I prefer poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam with this message that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, If you desire, I can turn Mount Uhud into gold. And I am the creator of this world and the heavens. Then I can instruct Mount Uhud to go wherever you go. That means part of Mount Uhud will go wherever you go. So the gold will be with you all the time. And you will be able to live a very luxurious life. You will be able to do whatever you want. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had a choice between a life full of wealth and a life of poverty. He had a choice. And me and you. It is our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not created anybody more clever, more intelligent and more intellectual than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should pay attention to his choice. What was his choice when he was given this choice? Before taking the decision, he asked Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam for mashwara. Oh Jibreel, I have already taken a decision, but what is your mashwara? In his mind, he had taken a decision. What is your mashwara? What is your opinion? So Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam did this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is better to remain humble than wealthy and haughty. Wealth brings haughtiness, pride, arrogance. Seldom a person is able to digest wealth. Seldom. Jibreel alayhi wasalam said, humbleness. That means poverty is better. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Jibreel, after consulting you, I have taken this decision. Go to my Allah, go to my Creator, and tell him that, O Allah, I want a life where I remain hungry for one day and practice sabr and patience, and I fill my belly the following day, and I am grateful to you. One day sabr, one day shukr, one day sabr, one day shukr. This is the life I want. His poverty was not struck upon him. It was his choice. And then he used to make dua that, oh Allah, keep me like this. Allahumma hiyani miskina, wa amidni miskina, wa shurni fi zumratil masakin. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala says to her nephew, Urwa ibn Zubair, oh my nephew, in kunna lananzuru ilal hilal, summal hilal, summal hilal. Oh my nephew Urwa, we used to observe the crescent, and then another crescent, and then another crescent. Crescent, crescent, crescent. So 2 months. You observe a crescent, a month passes, you observe another crescent, and then a month passes, you observe a third crescent. Oh my nephew, we used to observe a crescent, then another crescent, then another crescent. 2 months used to pass. And from amongst the houses of the various wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in not a single house was fire kindled. Food was not cooked for 2 months. Why? Because food never used to come in the house. Food was not cooked does not mean that people used to send food. Food never used to come in the house. Neither raw nor cooked. Food did not used to come in the house. For 2 months continuously. So Urwa ibn Zubair said, O my auntie, Mada kana yu'ishukum. Then how did you survive? How did you survive? So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala said, Al-Aswadan. Aisha radiyallahu anha said, by eating dates and drinking water. Dates and water for continuously for 2 months. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Al-Fakru Fakhri, poverty, poverty is my pride. Poverty is my pride. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina wa ahshurni fi zumratil masakin. Oh Allah, I want to live as a miskin, I want to die as a miskin, and I want to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with the masakin. Not with the wealthy people, with the poor people, with the humble people, with the not so influential people. Allahu Akbar, what a great virtue for those people who are seen as insignificant people in this day and age, in this very world. Allah's Nabi is saying, resurrect me with them. This is what he desired for himself. Why? Because he knew. He knew that the hardships of this world are temporary and the hardships of the hereafter are permanent. It is better to give preference to the hardships of this world over the hardships of the hereafter. And this is what he preferred for his children, for his progeny, and this is what he preferred for his ummah. He used to make dua for his progeny, for his children. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. Oh Allah. Oh Allah. Give my progeny food, rizq, which is sufficient for them. Which is enough for them, not more than that. Qut, khut in the Arabic language is that you give enough food for that person to be able to sustain himself. That is qut. So for his progeny, for his al, for the sayyids, he is making this dua. That, oh Allah, for the sayyids, for my family members, for my children, for my progeny. Give them enough so they are able to sustain themselves. They don't have to beg. They don't have to stretch out their hands. Don't disgrace them. Give them. But only enough. Not more than that. Qut. And for his ummah, what did he desire? The same. He said, "Mal faqra akhsha alaykum, walakin akhsha alaykum an tubsata lakum ad-dunya." I do not fear poverty upon you. I fear that you become wealthy. So if you remain poor, I have no problem. But if you become wealthy, it's a problem. I have worry. If my ummah remains poor, then I don't need to worry. But if my ummah becomes wealthy, then I have to worry about them. Because the wealth brings side effects. Poverty does not bring any side effects as far as deen and iman is concerned. So when you become poor, I don't worry about you because it will not bring any side effects in your deen. But when you become wealthy, I worry. I worry because it will bring side effects. Isa alayhi salatu was salam said, Ya talibat dunya litabir. Ya talibat dunya, oh the seeker of the world, oh the seeker of wealth, oh the one who is always trying to earn as much money as possible. Why? So that he is able to do good. So Isa alayhi salam is talking to that person who is religious minded, who desires to earn wealth and money so that he is able to do good. But many a times a person begins to earn wealth, accumulate wealth with a good intention. But when he becomes wealthy, he changes. His intention changes. So these are the harms, the side effects. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said that, oh, the one who is earning wealth so that he can become rich and he can do good deeds, tarkuka dunya abarru. Your forsaking wealth is more beneficial for you from the aspect of the akhirat. Because if you remain poor, if you have enough hand to mouth only, you will be able to sustain yourself as well. And you will be free from the side effects as far as your deed is concerned. But if you become wealthy, you will be able to sustain yourself. But while sustaining yourself, there is always danger. There is always danger. So my friends, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyat and safety in this world and also in the hereafter. Say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, give me wealth, give me that amount of wealth which I will be able to digest. Don't give me more than that. Don't give me that much wealth which will make me disobey you. Don't give me that much wealth. Give me enough wealth to safeguard my honor, safeguard the honor of my wife and my children, my family. Give me enough wealth so that I don't have any worries and I'm able to focus on you, focus on the akhirat, I'm able to worship you. Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala says that these poor muhajirin were sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi. I sat amongst them and one qari was reciting the Quran and the rest of us were listening to the Quran. It was a sort of dars of Quran because they all understood the message of the Quran. The Sahaba, they learned the Quran direct from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one was reciting the Quran, and we were all trying to understand the message of the Quran. We were all trying to revise the message of the Quran, refresh the message of the Quran. So we were listening very quietly, attentively, with respect. إِذْ جَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَسَلَّمَ. Whilst we were engaged in doing this, the Rasul of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم also arrived in the Masjid Nabawi. And he came near and he greeted us. He said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How fortunate were these souls who were greeted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is sunnah, my friends. This is sunnah. When two Muslims meet each other, they should greet each other. They should greet each other. And then this salam has many sunnats also. One sunnat is that the one coming will greet those who are already present in the gathering. So Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu and the Muhajirin, they were already there in the gathering. And it is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who is coming. So he is greeting them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most humble person. Most humble person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not created anybody more humble than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no feeling of superiority complex. I am the Nabi, I am the Rasul, I am the Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen. These are my students. They should greet me. They should stand up for me. No. No. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He knew the etiquettes because he was the teacher of etiquettes. And he was the most greedy as far as the hereafter was concerned. He was the most haris. Most greedy as far as the hereafter is concerned. And he knew. He knew that in doing good, one should not leave it for the next second or the next minute. So because they were engaged, they were busy, he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. They said, Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When two Muslims meet, they should greet each other. When two groups of Muslims meet, they should greet each other. When an individual meets a group, again, they should greet each other. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Such a beautiful greeting. Assalamu alaikum. May the peace of Allah be upon you. Wa rahmatullahi. May the mercy of Allah be upon you. Wa barakatuhu. May the blessings of Allah be upon you. Assalam, peace. Rahmat, mercy. And barakat, blessings. These are words which cannot be translated into any language. Assalam, rahmat, barakat. We try to find the nearest, we try to find the word which will convey the nearest meaning. But the exact meaning of salam, the exact meaning of rahmat, the exact meaning of barakah cannot be conveyed into any other language. When we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, we are giving our Muslim brother three prayers. Three prayers. Salam, may Allah give you salamati. May Allah grant you rahmat and may Allah grant you barakat. If we go into the depth of this greeting, the conclusion will be that I am asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you all the goodnesses of this world and all the goodnesses of the hereafter. When we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, this is what we are saying to our Creator. That, oh Allah, this is my Muslim brother or these are my Muslim brothers. Grant him or grant them all the goodnesses of this world and the goodnesses of the hereafter. And we have been taught to make this dua for each other whenever we meet. So daily, how many Muslims will we meet? We leave the house, we have been taught to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So everybody will say Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On the street, we meet any Muslim, we say Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum wa rahmatullah. How many times? So in a day, if we follow this teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in 24 hours, how many people will make dua for us? If I meet 20 people and if I say 20 times Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, 20 people will say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So 20 people have made this dua for me, that may Allah give you the goodnesses of this world and the hereafter. The following day 20 times, again 20 times, again 20, so 20 times, 10 times, 30 times, 50 times, 40 times. Depending on how many Muslims you meet, depending on the gathering. In a gathering, when you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, then instantly at least 30, 40, 50 people will say Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So on a daily basis, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, in an Islamic environment, people are making this dua for you. Because you are saying Assalamu alaikum to them, they are saying Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. So you are saying Assalamu alaikum, not only are you praying for your Muslim brother, you are instigating him to make dua for you as well. Or rather, you are compelling him. Because to do salam is sunnah, but to answer to that salam is incumbent, it is wajib. So you are compelling him to make dua for you. Listen very carefully to what I am trying to emphasize, or the point I am trying to make. If we have this habit of making salam to everybody, that means on a daily basis, dozens of times people will say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. From amongst these moments, surely, in a whole year, there must be a moment of acceptance. And if it is a moment of acceptance, and that dua of your Muslim brother is accepted, Allah will grant you the goodnesses of this world and the hereafter. Such a beautiful greeting. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, let us make a firm resolution. First point, dunya is not so important, akhirat is important. When we take stock of our lives, don't only look at this aspect, that I still have a terraced house. I still have a terraced house. I haven't made any progress. Yes, now I have made a progress because it is semi-detached. And I have made even more progress now because it is detached. But are we realizing that whilst we are making progress towards a detached house, we are detaching ourselves from the akhirah? Why are we taking stock of only one aspect of our lives? Even if the worldly life and the life hereafter were both equal, equal in quality, equal in quantity. Equal in quality, equal in quantity. Those people who migrated to this country from the subcontinent in the early days, both countries were equal for them. Because in the initial stages they thought, we may live here for a few years and we may have to go back. So they were giving equal importance to both. Both. So even if the worldly life and the life hereafter were equal, that for 70 years you will have to stay here and 70 years there. But for that life, you can only make preparation in this life. We should have made equal preparation. But here, they are both not equal. In quality, they are very different. And in quantity, they are very different. In quality, they are very different. In quantity, they are very different. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, in Ma'ariful Quran, in his tafsir, that if a person was to be given a choice between two homes, the description is from me, because I cannot remember the exact words of Mufti Sahib. A person was given a choice between two homes in Burnley. One home, a terraced house costing 50,000 pounds. And another home costing 1 million pounds in a very posh area. Mufti Shafi Sahib is asking this question. That a person is asked to make two choices between a house costing 50,000 pounds, another house 1 million pounds. And this person is penniless. He is being given choices that do you want this house or do you want that house? And he is told that the conditions are different between the two houses. If you take this one which is worth 50,000 pounds, then it is yours forever. It is yours. After you die, it is your children's. After they die, it is their children's. It is yours until the day of Qiyamah. And if you take this house which is worth 1 million pounds in a very posh area, then you can use it for 5 years. You can use it for 5 years. After that, you have nothing. You have to vacate. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi asks, if a poor person is being given this choice, which house will he go for? The 1 million pound bungalow or 50,000 pound home? He will go for the 50,000 pound home. Why? Because that is temporary. This is eternal according to him. So even if the eternal home is less in quality and quantity in comparison to the temporary house, a person will still go for the eternal one, the permanent one. Here Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, when it comes to the hereafter is eternal, this world is temporary, and the hereafter is far more better in quality and in quantity. It is everlasting. And quality, Allahu Akbar, quality, one tree, so big, one tree will be so big that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that in its shade, in the shade of that tree, if an Arabian horse, very fast Arabian horse, was to run for 100 years, 100 years will come to an end, but he will not be able to cross the shadow. This is the size of one tree. So imagine the garden and imagine the bungalow with that garden. So first thing we need to do is to give priority to the hereafter, my friends. Priority to the hereafter. And number two, let us bring in our lives as many sunnats as possible. As many teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as possible. One of them is salam. When we meet each other, say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Nowadays, the trend is when we meet somebody whom we know, we make salam. And when we meet somebody whom we don't know, we know he is a Muslim, but we don't know him as a friend. We don't make salam. We don't make salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a sign of qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from the signs of qiyamah, one is that a person will pass by a masjid at the time of salah, but will not enter the salah to perform salah. And another sign of qiyamah is that a person will only greet that person whom he knows. He will not greet that person whom he does not know. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ayyul Islam e khair? From the actions of Islam, from the a'mal of Islam, from the deeds of Islam, which deeds are the best? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned only two in this hadith. He said, Tut'imut ta'am. To feed someone is a very good deed. It is one of the best deeds. And number two, وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفُ. And to greet your Muslim brother, whether you know him or whether you do not know him. So say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Spread salam. And my friends, we have done so much harm to our own families. Our own families. That we cannot make up for that harm. Because I am 54. For the past 54 years, how many times have I greeted my family when I went into the home? It is sunnah to greet your family when you go home. And it is also sunnah to greet them when you leave the home. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When you leave your home, you say, Mom, Dad, Ammi, Abba, wife, children, I am leaving. I'm going to the masjid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am going to work. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have deprived them of our prayers. It is sunnah to do salam when entering a gathering. It is sunnah to do salam when leaving a gathering. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood for a while. Stood after greeting. فَلَمَّا قَامَ عَلَيْنَا. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood amongst us or over us, سَكَتَ الْقَارِ. The reciter of the Quran became silent. Out of respect for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe he desires to say something. Sakat al-qari. He said, when the qari became silent, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mada tasna'un? What are you all doing? What are you all doing? So Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu anhu said, Qulna, we said, Nastami'u ila kitabillah. We are listening attentively to the book of Allah. This is what we are doing. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I am concluding now, my friends. Very beautiful incident. We can derive so many lessons, but time does not permit me. Kunna nastami'u ila kitabillah. We were listening attentively to the book of Allah. Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask, what were you doing? Could he not see? Could he not hear? That they are sitting together and reciting the Quran. Why did he question? Why did he ask? He asked because he was in his hujra and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah that get up, go into the Masjid Nabawi and sit with that group who are sitting in the Masjid Nabawi. So he asked this question to ascertain as to why Allah had asked him to come and sit with this group. Reciting the Quran and listening to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such an important amal that even the one upon whom the Quran was revealed is being compelled to sit with those people in the Masjid Nabawi. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And what is our behavior with the durus of the Quran in the Masjid, my friends? What is our behavior with the durus of the Quran in the Masjid? When the announcement is made that inshallah after the remaining salat, tafsir will take place, Darsi Quran will take place. We all walk out. We all walk out. And when the Imam concludes his dars and when he leaves the masjid, we are still outside talking. Or if we have gone home, it wasn't something very important. We leave the masjid not because we have to attend to something important. It is because dars of the Quran is insignificant in our eyes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being ordered. So when the sahaba said, what were you doing? Sahaba said, we were listening attentively to the glorious book of Allah. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, Alhamdulillah. All praises be to Allah. Alladhi ja'ala min ummati. Who has created from amongst my ummah. Man umirtu an asbira nafsi ma'ahum. Such people with whom I am being ordered to come and sit. I am praising Allah that He has created such noble people in my ummah. Who engage themselves in such noble works that I have been ordered by Allah to come and sit with them. These are the people who occupy themselves with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, memorizing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the do's and the don'ts, and propagating the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My friends, this is the final message. Let us leave from here with this resolution that inshallah, from today we will read the Quran. We will also listen to other people recite the Quran. And we will try to understand the Quran from ulama, from authentic sources, from tafasir, commentaries written by authentic, reliable ulama. We will seek guidance from reliable ulama if we want to read any tafsir. And I always say in majority of my bayans that Maulana Google, Mufti Google, Mufassir Google, Muhaddis Google is very, very dangerous. No, authentic, reliable ulama. Who you know that they have a chain leading to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If ilm is not authentic, then your amal will not be authentic. And if ilm is authentic, then your amal will be authentic. Let us understand the Quran and let us practice the Quran and let us also pass on the beautiful message of the Quran to both the Muslims and the non-Muslims alike. So they are able to, even the non-Muslims are able to appreciate the beautiful teachings and the merciful teachings of Islam. There is nothing throughout the world but misunderstanding in regard to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest thing that is misunderstood in this day and age is Islam. The greatest thing that, the greatest misunderstanding lies with Islam. And it is this misunderstanding which is taking the non-Muslims further and further away from this beautiful religion. Let us tell them, let us teach them. Let us show them the mercy of Islam, the beautiful, and we will only be able to do that if we ourselves study Islam. If we ourselves study the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the conduct of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the good morals of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beautiful teachings of the Quran, and then we practice accordingly, practice, and we also mention these teachings to others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all for this effort, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the students of the madrasa being run under the auspices of the Masjid al-Faruq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them huffaz until they breathe their last, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten their hearts with the meaning of the Quran also, and make them ulama who will become the beacon of light for the whole ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين، الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين، الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين، الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون،
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين، الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مسرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان، واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء، اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وتام. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها، وخير أعمالنا أواخرها، وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم، واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا، وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا، وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار، واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن
ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما, رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما, رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما, یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما, عفو عافیت کا, فضل و عنایت کا, حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما. الہ العالمین ہم بڑے گندے ہیں, ہم بہت گنہگار ہیں. الہ العالمین تیری نافرمانیوں میں زندگی گزری ہے, ارحم الراحمین ہمیں معاف فرما دے, ہمیں معاف فرما دے, ہمیں معاف فرما دے. ارحم الراحمین ہمیں معاف فرما دے, ہمیں معاف فرما دے, ہمارے چھوٹے بڑے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. الہ العالمین ہمارے ماں باپ, ہمارے اہل و عیال, ہمارے رشتے دار, ہمارے اساتذہ, مشائخ, دوست احباب, متعلقین, محبین, محسنین, پوری امت کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, مرحومین کے گناہوں کو بھی معاف فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہم تجھ سے توبہ کر رہے ہیں. الہ العالمین ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لے, الہ العالمین ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لے, الہ العالمین تیری نافرمانی سے بچا لے, الہ العالمین تیری طاعت کی, تیری فرما برداری کی توفیق عطا فرما, الہ العالمین تجھے راضی کرنے والے کاموں کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے باطن کی اصلاح فرما, ہمارے ظاہر کی اصلاح فرما. الہ العالمین ہمارے باطن کو اخلاق حسنہ سے آراستہ فرما, الہ العالمین ہمارے باطن کو اوصاف جمیلہ سے آراستہ فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے دل کو تیری یاد سے منور فرما, الہ العالمین تیرے قرآن سے منور فرما, اے ارحم الراحمین قرآن کے معانی سے منور فرما, الہ العالمین تیری معرفت سے منور فرما, تیری یاد سے منور فرما, الہ العالمین تیری محبت سے منور فرما, الہ العالمین تیری محبت سے منور فرما, الہ العالمین تیری محبت سے منور فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیں جب تک تو زندہ رکھے اسلام پر زندہ رکھے, الہ العالمین جب موت آئے ایمان پر موت عطا فرما, الہ العالمین حسن خاتمہ والی موت نصیب فرما, الہ العالمین تیری رضا والی مدینہ منورہ والی موت نصیب فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین مرنے سے پہلے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین بری موت سے حفاظت فرما, شیطان نفس کے مکائد سے محفوظ فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین قبر کی سختیوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین قیامت کے دن کی ہولناکیوں سے ہمیں محفوظ فرما. الہ العالمین حساب کے وقت آسانی پیدا فرما, بغیر حساب کے کل صراط پر سے بجلی کی طرح گزار کر جنت الفردوس میں انبیاء صدیقین شہداء صالحین کی رفاقت نصیب فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین جن بچوں نے آج قرآن مجید کے حفظ کی تکمیل کی ہے, الہ العالمین انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما, الہ العالمین انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما, الہ العالمین انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین انہیں برکتوں سے مالا مال فرما, الہ العالمین انہیں قرآن مجید کی قدر کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین مرتے دم تک قرآن مجید کو الہ العالمین انہیں محفوظ رکھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, الہ العالمین بھولنے سے بچا لے, الہ العالمین بھولنے سے بچا لے, الہ العالمین اس سلسلے میں سستی کوتاہی غفلت سے بچا لے. اے ارحم الراحمین انہیں قرآن کا قاری بنا دے, انہیں قرآن کا عالم بنا دے, الہ العالمین انہیں قرآن پر عمل کرنے والا بنا دے, الہ العالمین دوسروں کو عمل کی طرف لانے والا بنا دے. اے ارحم الراحمین انہیں امت کی قیادت کے لیے قبول فرما, اے ارحم الراحمین انہیں امت کی رہنمائی کے لیے قبول فرما, الہ العالمین انہیں اولیاء صدیقین میں شامل فرما, الہ العالمین نہیں ان کے اساتذہ کے لیے, ان کے ماں باپ کے لیے, الہ العالمین ان ہم سب کے لیے آخرت میں صدقہ جاریہ بنا دے, آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا دے. اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین انہیں سلف صالحین کا نمونہ بنا دے, انہیں سلف صالحین کے نقش قدم پر چلا دے, الہ العالمین انہیں ہمارے بزرگوں کی نسبتیں عطا فرما دے. اے ارحم الراحمین انہیں قبول فرما, انہیں قبول فرما, انہیں علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین جتنے حفاظ یہاں بیٹھے ہیں ان سب کو بھی قبول فرما, جتنے علماء بیٹھے ہیں ان سب کو بھی قبول فرما, جتنے غیر حفاظ غیر علماء ہیں انہیں بھی قبول فرما, ہم سب کو قرآن مجید سے وابستگی عطا فرما, ہمیں صحت کے ساتھ قرآن پڑھنے والا بنا دے الہ العالمین, صحیح جگہوں سے قرآن سمجھنے والا بنا دے الہ العالمین, قرآن پر عمل کرنے والا بنا دے الہ العالمین, ہمیں ہمارے دلوں کی صفائی کی فکر نصیب فرما, تزکیہ باطن کی توفیق عطا فرما, مشائخ کی صحبتوں میں بیٹھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین, ہمیں قبول فرما لے ہمیں قبول فرما لے ہمیں قبول فرما لے الہ العالمین, ہمارے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما الہ العالمین, ہمارے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما ہمارے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما, بالخصوص ہمارے ماں باپ ہمارے اساتذہ ہمارے مشائخ ان سب کی مغفرت فرما, ان کے درجوں کو بلند فرما, اے ارحم الراحمین, جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے, جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں, جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے, جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں محبت رکھتے ہیں, خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ اساتذہ مشائخ دوست احباب حاضرین مجلس شرکاء مجلس سبھی کے تمام جائز نیک مقاصد کو پورا فرما, اے اللہ آپ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جن بھلائیوں کی دعا مانگی ہے وہ ساری بھلائیاں عطا فرما, جن برائیوں سے پناہ مانگی ہے ان ساری برائیوں سے پناہ عطا فرما, اے ارحم الراحمین, اس مسجد اور مسجد کے تحت چلنے والی مدرسے اور باقی جتنے کام ہیں الہ العالمین سب میں برکت پیدا فرما, سب میں ترقی نصیب فرما الہ العالمین, ان سب کے الہ العالمین حسن خوبی کے ساتھ مثمر بننے کے لیے جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے ہم سب کا غیب سے انتظام فرما, غیب سے انتظام فرما, غیب سے انتظام فرما الہ العالمین, امام صاحب اور یہاں کے علماء مدرسین الہ العالمین, یہاں مسجد کے کمیٹی کے حضرات الہ العالمین, ان سب کی صلاحیتوں میں اور صالحیتوں میں برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین, ان کے جذبے میں خلوص پیدا فرما الہ العالمین, آپس کے ان کے اتفاق اور اتحاد میں اور زیادہ ترقی عطا فرما الہ العالمین, انہیں ایک دوسرے کے احترام کی ایک دوسرے کی محبت کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین, اس جگہ کو ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین, پورے بندے میں جتنے مدارس ہیں جتنی مساجد ہیں جتنی مسلم اسکولیں ہیں دین کے جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں الہ العالمین, جماعتیں جمعیتیں جو بھی کام کر رہی ہیں الہ العالمین, ان سب کو قبول فرما, ان سب کو ایک دوسرے کا معین و مددگار بنا دے, ایک دوسرے سے شیر و شکر کر دے الہ العالمین, ایک دوسرے کا بھائی بنا دے اور الہ العالمین افتراق انتشار سے ان کی حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, پورے لنکشائر میں پورے ملک میں پوری دنیا میں الہ العالمین جتنے لوگ دین کا کام کر رہے ہیں سب کو قبول فرما الہ العالمین, ہر مسلمان کی حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, دین کی سمجھ عطا فرما الہ العالمین, پورے عالم میں امن کو عام فرما, سلامتی کو عام فرما, رحمت کو عام فرما اے ارحم الراحمین, اہل حق کے جتنے کام پوری دنیا میں ہو رہے ہیں ان سب کی حفاظت فرما, ان کو افتراق انتشار سے محفوظ فرما الہ العالمین, ان کو حق پر مجتمع فرما, اللهم انا نسألك في سفرنا هذا الجزاء والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى, ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم, رب اغفر لي وارحمني وانت خير الراحمين, سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين, واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين, برحمتك.